It's Happy Hour again from Uptown New Orleans. Hello, I'm Grant Morris. Happy Hour is part of the family of shows on the podcast network. It's NewOrleans.com. When you walk into a bar in New Orleans and you pull up a bar stool, you never know who's going to be sitting on either side of you. What you do know is no matter what they look like, what they're wearing, whether they just got out of a limousine or just got out of jail, they're going to be happy to talk to you because that's New Orleans and this is Happy Hour, a cocktail-fueled 60 minutes of random conversation with folks who have nothing in common. Other than we're all New Orleanians in a bar, we're at the fabulous Wayfair today on Ferret Street, which is right by Napoleon Avenue. It's open every day, and they have an awesome happy hour here every day from 3 to 6, where you can get half-price drinks and half-price on all the starters and bar fare, which people are indulging in right now at the bar, including us. We've actually got a free bottle of tequila on the table, thanks to Richard Pomez. Is that how I pronounce it?
Pomez, yeah.
Pomez, yeah. Pretty close.
Nobody gets that right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I've got it written down here. It says pronounced Pomez.
Oh.
So
yeah.
That's how I got it right.
Excellent. Someone phonetically, you got a phonetic spelling.
Our fantastic producer, Graham DePonte, hooked me up with that. Yeah, what do most people call you, Pomes?
Pomes or Palms?
Palms.
Which is very frustrating.
I'm pleased to meet you because
Poems is nice.
Pomes is good. That's the voice of Julie Kane, who is a poet, actually. I'm going to tell you something. Julie, hi.
Hi.
Now you have to talk into that microphone.
All right.
You can look at me and talk into the microphone at the same time.
I don't know. Like. That's two things at
once. I know. It's not easy to do. Do you know something about Julie? I'll tell you guys. Julie used to be, up until 2013, the Louisiana Poet Laureate.
Wow.
So just get a load of that.
Yes.
So that sort of puts you in your place, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
John Shirley is here from Cardinal Sons, and you're a lyricist.
Hello. I am. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So now we have a lyricist.
So you're a poet, too.
I'm a poet.
Yeah.
Kind of knew it, but I'm in there. I'm in that game. Yeah.
So how do you get to be the poet laureate?
That's a good question.
Well, only 1 minute into the show and I've already got a good question. Someone make note of that.
I got nominated, and I guess people wrote letters of support. And believe it or not, I was appointed by Bobby Jindal.
Whoa.
And many of my friends said it's the only thing he ever did in 8 years that they liked.
R.I.P. R.I.P. Bobby.
Yeah.
What is he doing now, Bobby? Are you keeping up with him?
No, I'm not.
You don't have any clue?
No.
The guy made you the poet laureate and you don't give a shit about him?
I guess, I should be ashamed.
Yes.
But I'm not.
You should be in touch with...
You didn't get his number after that ceremony? And
no.
Did you ever have his number?
From time to time?
No, I never did.
Did you have to write a poem about Bobby, you were so fine or anything?
No, but I had to do a 200th anniversary statehood bicentennial poem.
Okay, wow. When was that? Yeah, that was 100 years ago. aren't we up to the 300th? Isn't this the tricentennial coming up?
Yeah.
Oh, you're not that old, sure.
Of New Orleans.
Of New Orleans.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a different thing.
But this was the state. Right.
Oh, yeah.
The state was later.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
Those dates don't add up.
Right.
So when was the 200th anniversary of Louisiana?
Somewhere between 2011 and 2013.
Somewhere while you were on the job.
That works.
So what happens? Exactly. Someone called you up from the whatever department and says, hey, listen.
Well, actually,
Julie, are you busy?
The Lake Charles city government decided to do, to commission it. So I did it for them.
What did it say? What was the opening line?
That's
200 years.
That's
just
a good
seems
question, because,
like
it's the kind of subject that doesn't really inspire you right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to find a way to kind of get emotionally attached to it to write it.
Right.
So I started doing some research about how Louisiana became a state, and I found out that the U.S. Congress didn't want Louisiana in the Union, because of all the people of color, here.
Yeah.
Who could vote, and for another thing, because of all the foreign all the foreign languages being spoken,
If Congress was right for once.
And Catholicism.
Catholicism was a no-no as well.
They were afraid that the Louisiana people would follow the Pope, and not the president. So once I understood that we were underdogs and they didn't want us, then I could get my teeth in it.
Yeah.
Maybe pirates too.
Yeah, pirates.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Can you remember how it went?
Oh, God. I can't remember.
Can we Google it?
It's not... I don't think it's online. It's not one of my greatest hits, I'll tell you. But,
That's the problem when you have... Were you getting paid for that? That's a paid gig.
I did get,
they tell you.
I think $500 for it. Yeah.
That's
not
it.
Bad.
It was like 4 pages
$500
long.
For the poem or 500...
A four-page long poem?
Oh,
You couldn't pay me enough to write 4 pages of anything.
I'll give you 500 right now.
Hell no.
I'll take it.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good for a starving musician, isn't it?
Yeah,
$500. Would you get paid that for a night's gig?
Just
you personally?
Hell yeah. Come on, man.
Okay.
$500. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
So that's not so big of a deal for you then. How much would it what would it cost to get a poem out of you?
Oh man, a poem?
Yeah.
We're talking in the four digits here at least.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I would have to pay for the class to learn how to write poetry.
Right.
And then come back.
Yeah.
So if you cover the cost of the class, maybe. You know.
Yeah.
How did you learn to write, John?
I didn't learn. I think I just kind of went for it.
Anybody can do it, right?
Well, sure. Yeah. Whether it's good or bad.
Anybody could be a poet, right, Richard?
Yeah.
Do you write poetry?
Anybody can be a poet, but can they be a good poet, right?
That's the question.
Therein lies the crux.
Well, do we know what good poetry is, though?
Oh, that's a whole
can of worms. Now we're getting somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is art?
I think I don't.
How long is a piece of string? Well, Julie, what would you say good poetry is?
You know, it's like saying, what's good music? I mean, you know, there's a whole spectrum.
Grateful Dead,
you know, from
do you think that's
song,
good?
You know, song lyrics, spoken word,
I think it's a little
poetry,
subjective, right?
You know, you know, it's, you know, whatever you like, I think, is good poetry.
It's really, it's like art.
Yeah.
I don't know
anything
about it, but I know what I like.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's it. So anybody could do it, but how did you get into it, actually?
I started when I was really little, when I was about 7 years old, as soon as I could kind of grip a pencil and, you know, print letters.
Well, how big were you
always,
at that point?
I always loved it. Well, you know, normal.
Normal size for 7 year old? Okay.
Good answer.
I thought you might have been a midget earlier on or something. Okay. So you were little child and you picked up a pencil.
I always loved this stuff.
Interesting.
Like in school, we'd get our English book the first day of class, and I'd take it home at night and I'd read all the poems in it. You know, I didn't care about the stories I just always really
loved
it.
You can remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Richard, you remember anything from being seven? Where'd you grow up?
No, I grew up in Old Metairie.
Okay. I'm sure you've blanked all that out.
You have no idea. I try to avoid it at all costs. What do I remember from seven? Toys, action figures, video games? I mean, you know, like nerd stuff.
Right.
You know.
Well, you're still wearing your DuckTales t-shirt.
This is true. I am wearing a DuckTales. I try to wear my DuckTales t-shirt for all media and press appearances and opportunities. Because one guy, the sound guy, is like, I know DuckTales, yeah. One guy always gets it. Or a girl,
one person. One of the greatest theme songs, I think, of any show. DuckTales.
Yeah.
And as a music writer, you can really appreciate it.
I can. Yeah.
Does it have lyrics?
Yeah.
It does.
How did it go?
I don't want to sing
songs
on the air.
Don't ask.
We're not going to pay anything for it.
That's
right.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a lot about getting in adventures.
What were the lyrics?
The hook was just DuckTales, woo.
Yeah.
And there are other lyrics, but that hook over and over and over again, it was just like, it's just as a kid standing up yelling at the TV.
Yeah. And it's like 4 minutes long, too.
Yeah.
It's no joke. It's a true intro.
That was the golden age of cartoon theme songs.
Yeah.
You had Ninja Turtles and stuff like that. And at some point, we kind of lost those theme songs.
Yeah,
you know? And back in the day, you'd also have fantastic sitcom theme songs, too.
Yeah.
We've kind of gotten away from that because they're kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you know, Mary Tyler Moore Show and stuff like that, where, you know, even as a kid watching Nick at Night, I would be singing those lyrics.
Totally.
Still know all this up to this day.
Yeah.
Laverne and Shirley.
Right.
We're way off track here.
I
love old TV.
They were the... Do you watch
Gilligan's
a lot of time
Island, my God.
Gilligan's Island, yeah.
But they were the days before you could fast forward through anything.
Right.
That's true.
You were trapped.
And now on Netflix, it says, do you want to skip the intro?
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's like, yeah, okay, fine.
Right.
Skip the intro. Yeah.
Do you watch a lot of TV, Richard?
No, I don't have time anymore. You know, most of the stuff...
Are you busy drinking?
I'm busy drinking, yeah. I try to watch what I can, but it's very frustrating this day and age. Everybody's like, oh, did you see, you know, the last episode of whatever, of Mad Men? Or it took me 6 years to watch Mad Men because I would watch an episode a month, you know, and finally got
to
the whole thing.
You're supposed to watch them all at once.
Right. Well, and now you have on Netflix, you have shows that all come out. They drop every episode on one night, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody's like, oh, yeah, I just binge watch the whole thing in one day. And
that's
I'm like,
what I do. Do you do that, Julie, as well?
Yes.
John,
yes.
You do that?
I have before.
Every single person
I never
does
have,
that now.
Except me.
You've never done
I don't have time. No. The most I've done is...
No one has time, but you end up doing it.
Yeah. The most I've done is watch an episode a week of something and then eventually call up.
You're good.
I just can't.
I'm sure. I sit there and I watch one and then I'm going to watch another one.
I'm jealous.
And then I'm going to watch one more. What are you doing there? You know what you're spending a lot of time doing? That's emailing me.
That's true.
I never knew who you were. I just would get these emails, which I thought I didn't even know it was a real person.
I think
constantly
who
get emails.
Connected us? What, do you know?
No, but it's not from you personally. It's from something to do with the NOLA project.
Oh, that's right.
It's nonstop.
That is true. Well,
I
send out the press releases for NOLA project for my theater company, which is a completely separate thing from the tequila. And somebody a long time ago said, you know, help me put together an arts and media press list for our theater company, and you were on it. And so it's just kind of a send all.
Oh, so you think I'm a member of the media? Oh, yeah, that's sad.
Hey, that's what someone else told me. So,
okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's why I get them all. Yeah. What do they say? Because I haven't read any of them.
Oh, that's okay. It's
does anyone read them? I just delete everything instantly. Well, like most people.
The theater
I'm too busy
critics
watching.
The theater critics read them.
Oh, it's
you know?
A theater
so
thing.
So we're a performing arts company. So the Gambit and NOLA.com, the people who are writing about the arts and reviewing theater, they're the ones actually reading them.
Do they just take that and copy and paste it into the thing and make that the
same? Sometimes.
That's the ideal.
I mean, well, it's frustrating for us because we need the credibility of a critic reviewing the show, because then that's how we get things like grants. Well, we need a critic to say, here's my opinion. And if it's good, we use that as an opportunity to get more funding. But if somebody just copies the press release, there's no proof that the show was good or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. What if you can't you put in the thing like to individual? There's not that many people to write to, after all. There's Gambit
in,
and whatever.
In New Orleans, there's not a lot.
There's half a dozen, and you could just personalize it so each one has a sentence that says fabulous, brilliant, witty.
This is true.
And then you can
you'd be surprised. In this age where, you know, print is becoming less and less relevant, there are a lot more digital blogs that review arts and entertainment popping up to kind of fill that need, fill that hole. So you'd be surprised. It you know, our media list is like 100 outlets long, which is a lot for New Orleans. It's a small company. So,
and is it working? I mean, do people Can you tell who's opening them?
Because they respond.
No, they do. Okay.
You know, they're interested. We also offer comp tickets.
Free
tickets. So
I wasn't aware of that.
Since you're a member of the media, you know, you should come see shows because it's free for you.
No, I know that it's free. I'll open some of those emails.
And then you can review the shows and you can say, oh, this was crap. And then I'll give you free tickets.
Don't these people who have all these great critiques like you, Julie, like I was looking online about your books. It's incredible how much people love you. Are you paying these people?
There were a few bad ones in there that I didn't
read those.
I didn't quote on the website.
People were liking you to Dorothy Parker.
Yeah,
who's one of the wittiest, most intelligent writers.
That's wonderful. That was really exciting. To get that.
So how much do you pay for that, or does your publisher pay people? I think that's the same thing about these reviews in the paper. Aren't you paying people to say stuff?
Well, so some organizations will just cover your show because they cover arts and media, but some will say, we'll cover your show if you buy an ad or if you sponsor our thing, which in this day and age I understand because there has to be revenue to keep these outlets open, but it also feels a little shysty.
It's payola-esque,
Yeah. It is, I understand, you know, coming from the marketing world, that it is sometimes a necessary evil.
Yeah.
You know, if the newspaper needs to make money to stay open, then I understand.
Okay.
You know, or the newsletter or the website or whatever it is. But a lot of times these nonprofits and arts organizations that need the coverage don't have the money to pay for those things. So it's a catch-22 or a chicken and the egg or other metaphors.
Yeah.
Is there another one? Well, Julie, you have to sell books.
Do they sell books, these
positive quotes?
The blurbs on the back of the book, you know, before the book comes out, usually the publisher will contact, you know, some kind of, you know, people who are well-known and ask them to read it and give a pre-publication blurb and then put it on the back. And that kind of helps people if they just pick it up in a bookstore or something, you know. It's kind of like this voice of authority, you know, says you should read it. But then, you know, after it comes out, then it's like you trying to get real reviews, you know, because nobody's going to say anything bad on the back of your book, or, you know, they're not going to put it
on you're not going to put it on your book. So, Julie, I don't want to hold your hand. Well, I do want to hold your hand, right?
Oh.
You have matching fingernail polish and clothes.
And clothes?
Yes, your clothes are the same color as your. Do you always do that? Do you change?
No.
Do you change your nail polish to suit your outfit?
This is more in the silver family, and that's more in the green family.
Is that not the same color?
No, it's not the same color at all.
Are you kidding me?
It's a dim bar.
Allison's our photographer. Is it the same color, Allison? Tell me it is.
It's like a greenish silver.
Okay.
It's got green in it, right?
Greenish silver.
You guys can't see the green in it?
I can see a bit of resemblance, but I would say different colors.
Okay.
That's my review.
Yeah. Okay.
Different colors. Where did you get your glasses?
On the internet. I got them at St. Charles Vision. I've had these for a long time.
Oh, they're good. Well, that might be why. How long?
At least 5 years.
Maybe your prescription's changed.
You're probably right.
You can't
tell
that's
right.
Green.
You're right.
Richard, where'd you get your glasses from?
What's that online company where they let you, I should know the name of this.
Warby Parker.
Yeah,
and they just
put it in a store and magazine street.
Yeah,
so
right.
I think I went to the store.
They're nice looking glasses.
Thank you.
But you still can't see the correct color.
No. No, I
how much
I
were
can't.
They? $95
Oh, I'm assuming, yeah, somewhere around there.
$100
I'm asking him like he knows.
No, I do know. I have like three pair.
Okay, great.
You have Warby Parker.
I do
glasses. Yeah. Well, these aren't Warby Parker.
They're not. No.
Okay.
These are
Maybe
my
if you
like.
Wore those,
these
you'd
are my.
Go.
Yeah, these are my nice glasses. These are my stunner shades.
Oh, right. Excellent.
Yeah.
And how they feel with the headphones on, you
they're,
guys?
They're fine.
That's okay.
It's all right. Yeah.
Julie, you took your glasses off, I see.
I did, yeah. They were a little weird with the headphones.
Yeah, they do. You get used to it after a few years. But your eyes are now the same color as your clothes as well.
Yeah.
Check that out. Am I right about that?
You're right about that.
That'll agree.
Really insistent on
that. Okay. Give me that one.
So you have green eyes. Now, that's unusual, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, how do you choose the eyeshadow color? That's a sort of a bluey.
That's called aqua green.
Aqua green, yes. Okay. So you have a lot of green going on, and you're Irish as well.
Yes, completely Irish.
I wonder if that's the reason that subconsciously you like green.
It is kind of close to St. Pat's still, so I don't know, maybe, you know.
Why is green the color of the Irish?
Is it the shamrocks or the green fields? If you fly over it.
Ireland is covered in grass, right?
I mean, if you fly over it.
It's called the Emerald Isle,
I suppose.
Yeah, it's like a green quilt from the air, all different squares of green.
You
it's
spent
really beautiful.
Some time there?
When I was in college, I spent a couple of weeks there and hope to go back soon.
Mm. Yeah, what college were you at?
I was at Cornell as an undergraduate.
I said, you're a super genius.
It was a lot easier to get in then, and a lot cheaper, too.
Was it? It's easier that back then? When was
it? I think so. In the early 70s.
Early 70s.
The price of college has gone up across the board, right?
Yeah.
All over the country, no matter where you went.
Yeah.
But isn't that an Ivy League school and has been from the beginning?
Yeah, yeah.
So?
One of the first two.
Well, you have to admit if you're intelligent.
Like, yeah.
I'm afraid. Once you say Cornell, it's written all over you. Do they let stupid people in? Like these things, can you slip in by mistake?
Sure.
You can?
I mean, come on. Any college.
Come on. Really?
If you have the money to pay for it,
people
you can
sneak
get
by.
It.
People sneak by under
Look
the radar,
at me.
Right?
Yeah. I went to college.
Where did you go?
Loyola.
Oh, come on. Anyone
can get to
Loyola.
Well, I went to UNO, and anyone can get to UNO. I mean, come on.
Are you guys from here? Are you from here, John? You're from Mississippi?
Not originally. From Mississippi, yes, sir.
What part of Mississippi?
Jackson, Mississippi.
Okay, so do you have to pay to go to Loyola in Louisiana?
Absolutely, yeah.
Why didn't you go to...
I got a good scholarship, but...
You did?
Golf?
Golf scholarship?
No, I wish. I'm a former golfer, though.
Former,
Well, I mean, I suppose
at your age, you're a former golfer.
No, all right. I
Wait,
say
did you
this.
Just guess that he played golf? Okay.
Yes, I did.
That's
amazing.
Brilliant.
It's because he's white, isn't it?
Yes.
I haven't race noticed
card.
You.
The race card has already come out.
I am offended.
Yeah, but no, I guess I should clarify. I'm a former competitive golfer.
Wow.
Now I'm an amateur wannabe golfer.
Uh-huh.
So
competitive golf.
Cool.
I played in high school, guys. State champ.
You were the state champion.
Yeah.
Nice job. Congratulations.
Of Mississippi.
Of Mississippi.
Okay. All right. I just want to clarify.
There's a lot of people playing golf in Mississippi.
That's true.
There's not much else to do.
To go
I'm glad
pro?
You said it.
Oh, no.
No,
oh, no,
not at all.
No, I wasn't even that good. I was just on the team that happened to win state. So, I'm a state champion.
Okay.
You must have been pretty good.
I was all right. I was good
what
enough.
What was your score? What would you go around in? Or
in the state championship, I believe I shot an 81. Which is pretty much my best ever.
So you pulled it out for the big game.
Oh, yeah.
There
for
you
sure.
are. That's, yeah, yeah. A, that's a mark of a real champion.
Yeah. Actually, a quick story about the state championship, if we have time.
We have tons of time.
We have tons of time. So,
we've got a whole bottle of tequila to drink.
You're right. Speaking of which.
I'm going to pour some shots. Keep talking.
Cool. So basically, state championship. The way that you do competitive golf for teams is each golfer is assigned a number, 1 through 5, and you're matched up with your other numbers. And I was number 5, being that I was the worst of the 5.
It's like a handicap system?
No, I mean, it's basically like first is the best, and
so
fifth
you
is
play,
the worst.
So you play the number 5 on the other, when
yes,
you go around
yes.
with the other number 5.
I was the shittiest golfer of the state champs that year. So,
Put it another way, you were the 5th best golfer in the whole of the state of Mississippi.
Sure. Of a certain school size.
You were the Ringo of...
There you go. Yes.
Of
yes.
Team.
Okay.
Excellent.
Now, don't get me started on Ringo, because I'll defend that man
death. I actually like him, too, but I had to throw that joke out there.
Okay.
That was pretty good. Yeah. So you're not a drummer. You're a guitar player.
Correct.
And singer.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why do you not have a guitar here with you?
Well, none of my brothers are here. They couldn't make it, so I didn't want to do solo.
The band, so the band's a trio. It's all brothers. Yeah. It's an all sibling band.
Yeah, correct.
And what are the other two losers doing that they couldn't be?
So one loser is in Los Angeles. He lives there. Loser stuff. And the other
like
brother,
a successful screenwriter or actor or something.
He actually does music for film and TV.
That's cool.
Yeah. Oh.
What a loser.
I know.
I can't believe wanting to be on Happy.
Is a composer in LA.
No way.
Your niece?
Yeah.
Maybe
she's a classical composer. She might, yeah.
Interesting.
So a classical composer in LA, that would be a very difficult gig, I would imagine. What is she
doing? She's doing well.
Movies.
Yeah, she's making, you know, almost all of her income from it these days.
Wow,
cool.
What's her name?
Dale Trumbore, Drumbore.
Like
T-R-U-M.
Like Dalton Trumbo.
B-O-R, yeah.
Okay.
Like Trumbo with an R-E on an N, yeah. Mm.
Trumbore.
She does a lot of choral composition.
Wow.
And,
what a great way to make it. And you're a poet.
Yeah.
You're a poet person who makes a living out of writing poetry.
Well, I didn't
say
that.
What do you do to supplement your income?
I was a college professor. I just retired from Northwestern State in Natchitoches.
Oh, you're retired.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you're officially retired now. You're on a pension?
Officially, very meager pension.
Yeah, but what? You're not working and you're getting paid. That's the
That's the wonderful part.
That's the dream,
right? That's the American dream, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So where did we get to? John?
So about my state championship.
Yeah.
So
your brothers can't be here. That's why you don't have
brothers
your
can't be here.
Oh, we have got one other brother to dispense of. Where's he?
Yeah, Dave. He is, I think, on tour or playing. He plays in lots of bands locally. And
another loser activity, playing in a band.
Yeah,
okay.
I know.
Who's he on tour with?
What's that?
Who's he out with now?
So I don't know if he's actually out on tour or just like he also teaches lessons. So. One of those things.
I love that you have no idea.
No,
he's either working or sitting on the sofa.
Correct.
Why is
he sitting on the sofa? I'm going to be pissed.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Why is he not here?
Yeah.
How close are you guys? Do you see each other other than playing? Do you talk?
Yeah, of course. I mean, we're best buds.
Okay, well, let's call him up.
Joe and Dave. They're losers.
They're both losers. Who's the oldest?
I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest.
I have an older brother, actually, but he's not in the band. And he happens to be the most musically advanced of all four of us, honestly. He is a, what do you call it now? He's a vocalist. He does opera. He's an opera singer.
Oh, cool.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's an opera singer.
Wow. Yeah.
You're in New Orleans?
No.
Okay.
He lives in North Carolina, teaching at
North Carolina.
East Carolina
is the home of opera. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
true. And
it's
furniture.
Very true. Yes. Correct.
Where does he, is it? I was just kidding about that. Is it really?
Yeah.
There's opera in North Carolina?
There's a school which has a very good music program in North Carolina. Yeah.
What school is that? Do you know?
East Carolina University.
You ever heard of it? Anybody?
No.
Professor,
have you ever heard of
smallish
that?
School, but yeah.
It sounds real.
I've heard of the school,
Carolina.
ECU.
Do you have a PhD in poetry, Julie?
I do.
So you're a doctor of poetry.
I got it from LSU. Yeah.
Come on. Well, that still counts. You know?
Literature, but specializing in poetry.
Wow. So you've a PhD in literature, specializing.
Yeah.
And what
sort
of poetry did you have to do, like back then, romantic poetry?
Everything, romantic, Victorian, modern, you know, just whatever poetry course they offered, I took.
Do you
basically
know a lot of
for
poems?
Several years. Yeah, I'm probably sort of like a poetry jukebox, you know, with big chunks of poems in my head.
That's a fun party trick.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to request a poem?
Yeah.
What
definitely.
About the Rime of the Ancient Mariner? Do you know any of that?
There was an ancient mariner, and he stoppeth one of three by Yon, Baba, and Greta Beard. Now wherefore stoppest thou me? That's all.
Pretty
That's
good.
All
okay. All right. All right. You want one, John?
That's amazing.
We'll get back to the golf thing in a minute. But.
I don't know any.
Well,
think of a poem.
Howl. Oh, my
God. That's a long one.
Yes. Oh, wait a minute. Hydrogen jukebox, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I have seen the best minds of my generation starving, hysterical, naked, roaming the da-da-da-da streets at dawn. Oh, that's
you are pretty damn
That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
Okay, Richard, you got one?
Oh, no, Skip.
No? You don't know the name of a poem.
I'm not even going to pretend like I can think of a name of a poem right now.
Yeah.
Are you serious? You can't think of the name of one famous poem?
No, I drink too much tequila.
Yeah.
That's bad.
No idea.
You need,
off the top of my head.
What school? What high school did you go to?
Oh, Brother Martin.
Nice.
Well, they have an education system at Brother Martin.
It's all right. Yeah, I mean, no, it is good. I didn't pay much attention.
All right.
That's my fault. It's not their fault.
Well, you're an actor. Do you remember chunks of
dialogue
or monologues?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. monologues, just not poetry, unfortunately. I apologize.
Shakespeare's
no, but
poetry.
Yeah, that's true. Shakespeare is poetry.
Should we request a monologue as well?
No, stop. I brought tequila. Come on.
There's a limit. Okay. Well, first of all, we're going to finish the golf story.
Sure.
And then, you know what, maybe we'll listen to a bit of music that
you guys,
the Cardinal Sons, are doing. Okay, so tell us, where did we get up to with the golf? You're number five. That's as far as we got.
I'm number five on the team.
Right.
And,
it's the longest golf story.
I know.
Well, there's golf.
Yeah.
Right.
How long
true.
Does it take to play a game of golf, actually?
Pretty long.
Yeah. How long would it take?
I mean,
3 hours,
18
like
holes,
football?
3 hours. Yeah, it depends
like football,
on.
Say.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Without the equipment.
Right. So, coming in, I was with the fives.
Okay.
And we were last, obviously. And so everyone is done, and they're sitting around the green of the 18th hole. And so
they're all smoking weed and everything, and you're
totally.
Still
we're,
playing.
They're all partying.
Right.
Basically, I hit my shot on the green, and my buddy comes up to me, and he says, "Hey, John, no pressure, but you have to sink this putt to win state." Right?
Wow.
And this is everyone's there, and, you know, it's a big moment, so... I get over the ball, and it's probably 15-foot putt, and sink it, right? So I freak out and, throw my putter and, you know, jump up and down, and turns out that we had already won state. And
he just told you?
Yeah.
They're just fucking with you?
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah.
So, I hope you fucking beat that guy up with your five
that's
iron.
That's a good friend of mine, but yes, he deserves an ass whooping.
Yeah, really?
Wow.
Oh, that is cool, though. And you thought that you'd won it.
Oh, yeah, I thought I single-handedly
had
won state.
That's how amazing.
But, you know, you learned that you had it in you all along.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that probably must have been one of the best moments of your whole life.
Probably for a solid 30 seconds until I realized that it didn't mean anything.
But so what? How long can a good moment last?
You're right.
If you have 30 great seconds in your life, that would be pretty good, wouldn't
it? The rest is all just shit.
Should've
but
just
that
never,
30 seconds.
Should have just never told you.
You're right.
You could have gone to your grave thinking I was just... You could be telling
bliss,
people in the open.
Yeah, very true.
Telling your grandchildren.
Wow. That is a good story. Does it compare to, like, getting a applause on stage? Is it the same kind of feeling?
Oh, absolutely. If not more so. Because it's like the pressure is so intense in that moment. And
but what's it feel like when people clap and you're, like, on stage? That must be a...
Yeah, it's great. It's a high.
Is that why you're doing this? For fame?
For fame? No.
He wouldn't be doing it in New Orleans.
Well, not only that.
Louis Armstrong did okay.
Yeah.
Professor Longhair, Dr. John.
Yeah, but Louis Armstrong traveled a lot. Most of his shows weren't in New Orleans, right? I mean,
eventually
Chicago,
he moved.
Right. Yeah, all right.
But
all
right. you guys are on tour.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
We play here and there.
I had a look on your website just before I got here, and it's more like a history of where you did play.
Yeah.
It says tour.
That means we need to update our website.
All the dates have 8 at the beginning, and I'm like, they can't be that far ahead, can they? August can't be booked up already.
Well, I'm sure it is for a lot of folks, not us.
Not yet.
So, hence, I'm not doing it for the fame.
So what are you in it for?
I just really like music. I'm a fan of music, and, you know, playing with my brothers is it's a fulfilling thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a listen to this. This is something new.
I was going to mention, so I listened to a lot of podcasts, and I was going to make a recommendation on how to listen to this.
Oh.
Okay. I listened to an NPR podcast.
Oh, you have to unlock your phone so we can hear it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what I was going to recommend is they listen to, like, you know, a minute of the song and then fade it out, and then that's kind of it. Rather than listening to the full song. Is that an okay recommendation?
You tell us. We'll keep the mic turned on.
Okay.
You tell us when to fade it out. You can talk over it.
Okay.
It's your own song. You're allowed to talk over it. We'll be polite and we won't talk over it. Is that a deal? You can talk now.
That's
Julie.
Why I'm suggesting that we, like, cut it a little short because it might be awkward.
No, as long as you say, okay, that's enough of this bullshit.
Right.
Okay, what's the key word? You want to have a code word?
I think it's called a safe word.
Safe word,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. What's bullshit.
Bullshit, okay. So as soon as you say bullshit, Thomas will fade it down.
Got it.
Okay, something like that. Should we have a drink of this tequila first before we listen to it, do you think?
Yeah,
let's do it.
Everyone's got a glass? Allison, did you get a glass of tequila? You've got your own?
Cheers.
Okay. I got a pass.
Here's to it.
Cheers.
I didn't hear the word bullshit anyway.
Oh, bullshit.
I thought, I liked that. I would have listened to more of that.
Beautiful.
Didn't you think?
Yeah.
What'd you think of the lyrics, Julie?
Yeah, I would need to hear it again to get them exactly, because the music was, you know, was really
I heard
beautiful,
the word
too.
I heard the word complacent.
I was paying attention to those.
That's, and, you don't hear the word complacent in pop lyrics all that often.
Yeah. I guess it's a little, you know.
Intellectual?
Yeah. It's a lot about me, man.
Did you write that song?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What are the lyrics there? What are the opening lines?
The opening line is... shit, now I can't remember. Oh, with all my time, I grew complacent.
With all my time, I grew complacent.
Yeah.
I like that. Do you like that, Julie?
Yeah.
This is the poet laureate.
I know. Yeah. I feel like this I'm being graded.
Yeah.
We're going to need a full critique after.
Yeah, definitely.
I like that, and this is a new song that's just coming out.
It is.
You have an EP.
Well, no, we have a single, which is two-sided, two songs.
Two songs on a single.
That is correct. This one in particular.
You need two songs. You got it on a record, like on an actual 45 or something.
So it's actually on a cassette tape.
That's an brilliant marketing idea.
Yeah.
That is a genius marketing idea.
Couple,
who came up with that? One of
your
brothers?
Well, there's several reasons. So I'll give you the rationale for the cassette tape. Number one, they're kind of coming back. Number
two, is that right?
They're easy to buy at a show and put in your pocket, rather than like, you know, 7-inch or CD. Thirdly, they are way cheaper than printing to vinyl or CDs.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Who knew?
And they have a download card inside, so it's
as long as 8-tracks don't come back.
Yeah,
I'm cool with cassettes.
Yeah,
are you?
I love cassettes.
Cassette was the shittiest sound of all media.
I love the shitty sound though. That's the thing.
You like the shitty.
The fourth reason is because the songs are kind of nostalgic, and I grew up in the era of tapes.
Yeah,
and so that's kind of. You know, a reference to the songs, too.
That is amazing to hear that the cassette tape is coming back. I had no idea about that.
Yeah. It's cheap, man. And, you know...
Hey, look, if PBR can come back, cassette tape.
Everything comes back.
But cassette, I mean, who's manufacturing the cassette player now? Can you still buy one?
So that's a great question. You can. They're a rarity, but you can find them online. Walkman.
I read something that... is it Sony that owns the Walkman? I read something that said Sony, just out of people asking for it, has started reproducing Walkmans.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're doing it in mass production, but I know that they...
I think in limited...
small run.
Yeah.
But the whole thing with the retro thing of the turntable coming back and vinyl coming back is that when you put it on... It actually sounds surprisingly good.
You're right.
We all thought it sounded shitty, and we were going to get rid of it and have CDs that all sounded clean and beautiful.
What sounds like you listen to records because it sounds good, but it sounds like the cassette thing is more out of cassette, actually. Yeah, you like that? It sounds like the cassette thing coming back is more out of convenience or ease, or it seems like it's easier to purchase and hang on to, and yada yada.
It seems more like just some sort of hipster bullshit idea to me, frankly.
Maybe.
That's what I'm thinking, but.
I'm okay with that. I don't care. Are
you like a hipster yourself?
I don't consider myself one.
What sort of tattoos have you got?
I have no tattoos.
None?
No.
Okay, well, we have temporary tattoos.
We do have temporary tattoos.
Does that count? Yeah.
That's interesting. You have no tattoos. That's unusual. John, do you have any?
I don't.
No?
I don't.
Julie?
I plan.
Whoa. That's probably a first.
Poems about tattoos, though.
But you have a poem?
That works.
You want to read one?
Yeah. About a tattoo?
Yeah. I've got the review of your new book here.
Yeah.
It says it's wickedly clever. This is an actual review.
Mm-hmm.
Wickedly clever. Julie Kane is our 21st century Dorothy Parker.
Damn.
That's wonderful.
Unbelievable thing.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
Isn't it? And you didn't pay for that. You didn't pay for that.
I love Dorothy Parker. Oh, my God.
Who doesn't? Yeah. What are some of the great epithets that Dorothy Parker said?
I have no idea. I was just going to say that
men
next
don't make passes at girls who wear glasses.
That's the one. That's the only one I remember.
Yeah.
She said some very amazing. What else? Do you have any others?
She's got great one-liners.
Yeah, right. That's what
I'm talking.
There was 10 years ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago. Do you remember Le Chat Noir, a little theater downtown on St. Charles?
Yeah.
They did a play about Dorothy Parker. And, of course, I didn't know a lot about her, but it was a fantastic... It was just a one-woman show, her talking to the audience, and the actress was drinking during the show.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. I was probably too young to understand most of it, but that's how I know that line. It was
Parker
a great show.
Parker said, one more drink and I'll be under the host.
That's great.
Nice.
It also says that your book is boldly upbeat, sassily downbeat, and laugh out loud funny.
Oh, that's paper bullets.
It's about you,
it's
not about Dorothy.
It's just kind of silly. Yeah, silly poems.
It's silly poems. Do you have that here, that book?
Yeah, I do.
Would you like us to read one?
Yeah, that
Richard's an actor, he's a professional actor.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be awesome.
You guys, you're...
what about that for an idea?
I think you're overestimating my skills.
How awesome. Much tequila have you drunk? You've only had one shot. If you have another shot, you should
drink more.
How
about one from here? Because this one is like, you know, I'm in a bar... And I've got some...
Unless you'd rather read it. Do you think it would make more sense if you read it?
Oh, yeah. Please. Please let her read it.
All right.
You want to read it?
No, please read it.
If you think you should read it, who do you think does the best performance?
I'll read a bar poem.
Of her work, her.
Yeah. This guy had tattoos. Okay, but like that was before tattoos were in. That was like only when ex-Navy guys, you know, who got drunk had tattoos.
When the tattoo was taboo.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. Oh, nice. That's a poem right there.
Yeah. And it's going to sound, you're going to hear stuff repeating because it's this weird old form called the villainelle. Where things have to repeat.
It's called,
but, you know,
it's called the what?
The villanelle.
How do you spell that?
V-I-L-L-A-N-E-L-L-E. So that's
villanelle,
why.
That looks
that's
French.
Why it's like.
That looks like
a
small
before.
French house or something.
Yeah, yeah.
What
it
is
comes
it?
From that same root, like farm, I think, is the root of villa and villanelle.
Yeah, yeah.
So why is it? So it's villanelle is a style of poem that repeats.
Yeah, like it's like braiding hair. The first line and the third line kind of keep weaving, crossing over each other till the end. So, like, if you do it, you have to try to make it sound like you're just talking naturally, you know, in normal English, well, but you're doing this weird thing.
That's
underneath.
The word of the day, and every time somebody says it, the duck comes
down. You have to do a shot of this ghost tequila, which we haven't even mentioned the name of it.
That's right, okay. That's right.
All right,
okay.
Well,
we'll get to me
what
later.
What is the poem called?
It's called Kissing the Bartender.
Aha.
Yeah,
cool.
Okay. So here we go. The summer we kissed across the bar, I felt 16 at 36. As if you were a movie star I had a crush on from afar. My chest was flat, my legs were sticks, the summer we kissed across the bar. Balancing on the rail was hard. Spilled beer made my elbows stick. You could have been a movie star, backlit, golden, lofting a jar of juice. Or Bloody Mary mix, the summer we kissed across the bar. Over the sink, the limes, as far as you could lean, you leaned. I kissed the movie screen, a movie star. Drinks stayed empty, ashtrays tarred. The customers got mighty pissed the summer we kissed across the bar. Summer went by like a shooting star.
Nice.
Oh, that's cool. I like that too. Very nice. Is it a true story?
Yes, it is.
So you're,
yes,
so you're 16?
That guy got fired from some of the best bars
30,
in New Orleans.
36.
36.
Oh,
yeah. It felt like 16, right?
A few, yeah.
So you're making out with some guy in a bar in New Orleans, and he got fired.
I said he's been fired from some of the best bars in New
Orleans. He didn't get fired for that.
Subject of that poem, yes.
He wasn't fired for kissing you, making out with you.
No.
What bar was it?
I think drinking too much of the stock was probably...
what bar was that? I'm curious.
That was the Maple Leaf, actually. Yeah. There's some other poems in there about that era when Everett Maddox, you know, the poet, was alive and, and kind of, you know, living there.
I live around the corner from the Maple Leaf, so.
Oh, really?
So that's a thing.
I used to.
I have a connection to this poem.
Yeah. I used to be Dublin and Birch Street.
Okay,
right
I'm right off of Leonidas.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's cool.
So there used to be poetry night at the Maple Leaf, or poetry afternoons or something, as I
remember. The longest-running poetry series in the South, Sunday afternoon.
Wow. And is that when you were making out with this? You were making out with a guy then?
Yeah, well, you know, nights too. I mean, you know, it lasted a while.
So you were the rock star, really, rather than him.
I love this. This is great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So you were a big deal at the Maple Leaf.
You know, young in New Orleans.
You moved from up north originally.
Yeah, I did.
Would you be making out with a bartender up north, you think, if you'd stayed there?
No, not then. I came down with a husband, actually, so, you know.
Oh, was this part of the reason you got divorced, because of the bartender?
No, that was after.
Nothing to do with it. That was after it, all right.
It's okay, this is a safe zone.
Safe zone.
How long did you manage to...
No one's listening.
Villanelle, that's our word of the day. How long did you stay married for?
Just a few years.
That's
just
enough, right?
Yeah, 2 or 3 years,
Got the idea and moved on.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you dating anybody right now?
Right now? Well, there's sort of a... this is complicated.
Okay.
It's complicated. Yeah.
Well, have another shot of that vodka.
Yeah.
I mean, tequila.
One of those on and off things.
What does that mean when people say it's complicated? I always think it means I'm dating somebody married.
Mm-hmm. No.
That's not what...
It's just, you know...
What do you guys think? You're shacking up, and maybe you're not official.
Yeah.
It's complicated.
That means it's complicated.
Yeah. They're feeling
shacking
somewhere.
Shacking up, but not official. And that means living together, but...
No. Like, just like banging.
Hooking up.
Yeah.
Shacking up means living together, doesn't it?
I wanted to keep it a little more PC, I suppose, so I said shacking instead of hooking. But
when I'm okay.
Same difference.
You mean you're having sex with someone, but it's no one knows. It's on the quiet.
Yeah.
That means it's
common. maybe one of the partners has feelings for the other, and maybe one doesn't. Right. And man, that's
I'm gonna
complicated.
Cry. Yeah.
I'm not saying anything about your relationship. But
that's your definition of it's complicated. That's not far away from mine. That's not far away from mine.
Okay.
That's kind of the same ballpark.
Yeah, I'm thinking
someone's married and someone's not, and you're thinking someone's committed and someone's
to the relationship, and
someone's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone's just having sex, you know. You were just, what is that song? You were only falling while I was falling in love.
Okay.
What's your definition, Richard, of it's complicated?
Of it's complicated. It feels like a Facebook status, doesn't it?
Well, that's where it started, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure it did. It's complicated means two people are seeing each other without having a solid definition or direction of where it's going.
Yeah.
Okay. You know?
That's not complicated, though, if they both agree, is it?
Well, that's when I
that's simple.
To me, it's complicated. Means they haven't made a decision or they haven't discussed where it's going, right? So it's just out of lack of defining it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. Am I going off on a...
I don't know. That's your definition.
That's good. Yeah.
That's a great definition.
I don't know.
That's good.
I'm just making shit up.
That's your definition of it's... Well, Julie, what's yours then?
In this case, it's like a relationship that's been on and off for many years.
Right.
And I'm in New Orleans, so it's sort of on, but, you know, it's not always on.
It's all.
So if you leave town or he leaves town,
yeah,
then everyone's left to their own devices. And
I would agree with that. That sounds better. I'll agree with that.
I like that idea. And do you tell each other? Oh, while I was away, I banged this other guy. Or does no one say anything?
Well, you know, there's a geographical distance. So it's,
yeah, but when you get back together, like now,
yeah.
Do you tell each other what happened in the interim, or is it just all forgotten?
No.
It's all just forget that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good system, actually, if you can pull that off.
Yeah.
And what does this dude do? Is he in
feel free. You know,
is he a bar?
No.
Is he a bartender?
Good night, folks.
No. In fact, neither one of us can even drink anymore, which is very sad.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I didn't mean
well, you
to
took a.
Oh,
you
if I it. Could, if I could, right. I
well,
would be.
Cheers.
Well, you're medically unable to drink.
No, I just hit my lifetime quota kind of earlier than most people.
Did you have to go to AA?
The thing being Irish and all that kind of, you know.
Did you go to AA?
A poet goes with the occupation. Yeah.
Working in alcohol, a lot of people are very apologetic when I try to offer them alcohol. It's like, no, I completely respect that. Like, more power to you.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Hey, let's talk about this.
Oh,
we haven't even mentioned this.
I loved it and,
and
cherished those memories.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, and you don't have to do it forever.
Yeah.
I look forward to the day when I can stop drinking.
Right.
One day, many years from now, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I guess you can always set up again, right?
Yeah.
If you feel like.
Yeah.
Do you go to AA?
Don't shoot that much at once.
I did initially.
Right. So you can't start again because it's one day at a time.
Yeah, I do occasionally now. Yeah.
You do occasionally drink?
No,
well, you occasionally go to a meeting.
Occasionally go because you know because there are other people who are having trouble with it who want to hear from people who
sober
and are happy.
Got over
it.
Right. Here it's pretty serious when people go to AA. In other cities, it's sort of a social thing, and you know,
is it
like LA for example?
Yeah,
you go to AA and people aren't really alcoholics. They just quit drinking for a while and they go. It's like a networking thing. But here, you go to an AA meeting here, and boy, people are really fucking alcoholics. I mean, have you noticed that?
It's New Orleans.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be really bad off here to admit you're an alcoholic, because pretty much everybody drinks like crazy.
Yeah, that's the social norm here. There is no activity that exists in New Orleans, whether it's an event or an outing, a social situation that doesn't involve alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's really no way to avoid it.
You can go and watch kids play soccer.
And you have a drink.
There's a concession that sells booze.
Yeah. I'm just talking about this today.
Drive-through daiquiris.
They have booze at Putt-Putt. And you can throw your kid a birthday party and get wasted playing putt-putt.
Yeah.
Even Chuck E. Cheese.
That's okay.
There's
Chuck E. Cheese has beer.
Yeah, there's beer at Chuck E. Cheese.
Dude, I want to just go there.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I just want to sneak in with friends, get pizza, play video games. I think there's a new rule now that you have to be, if you're over a certain age, you have to have kids with you, something like that, you know, which
oh, you could find a couple of kids probably on Craigslist.
Just gonna get Craigslist. Yeah. I just find some on
the
street.
Free 8-year olds.
Hey kid, jump in the van. We're going to Chuck E. Cheese.
Okay.
Do you have a white panel?
The thing is, I'm just gonna leave you there at the end. So you got to figure out a way to get home.
Yeah.
Speaking of 8-year-olds, what I heard.
Great transition.
All right.
I don't know why you're looking at me, but go ahead.
People from New Orleans seem to start drinking when they're kids.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, how old were you?
High school.
High school. That's old. I mean, like I'm hearing.
Well,
you know,
I was. I mean,
people
like,
12. You know, 10,
okay,
that's
12. Junior high for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I was sophomore, junior year of high school. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess you're right. For New Orleans, that is kind of old, huh?
Yeah.
We used to sneak into Nick's Big Train Bar on Tulane, or
that place was great.
Jimmy's.
Oak Street.
Yeah, near Maple Leaf.
Yeah. Near Maple Leaf. One of those places where they kind of look the other way.
They would serve you as a 12-year-old.
Not me. No, I was not 12. I would have, what was in junior year, what would I have been, 17 or something 16, like that? 18, 16.
That's almost legal then.
Yeah. Well, and in New Orleans or Louisiana, we were the last state to change the drinking age from 18 to 21, right?
Right.
I mean, that was in the early 90s, something like that. It was before, you know,
But since I've lived here, it was 18, and then they changed it to 21. They thought everyone was, you know, what are we going to do?
Right. Yeah.
It was like a major, cause the only reason they changed it was because the federal government said, if you don't change it, we're not going to give you any more federal dollars to fix the highways or bridges.
Right.
Well, that worked out great.
They still haven't fixed any of
I think we should just go back to 18.
Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe if we change the law, they'll fix the levies or something like that, you know. Ooh. Or
we could put it up to 22 if they would fix the levies.
Fix something, please.
Some kind of bargain. So you were, Richard, you've brought this bottle with you. It's called Ghost Tequila, and it's called Ghost because it's made with...
It is infused with ghost pepper extract. And for those who don't know, ghost pepper is one of the hottest peppers on earth. It's very spicy. The level of capsaicin in it is one of the hottest naturally occurring substances on earth. People have genetically engineered or cloned peppers that are hotter, but this is one of the hottest naturally growing substances.
What do they measure heat with? What's the term?
The Scoville meter. The Scoville meter. And there are studies done that measure people's affinity for spicy food and beverages over the years. And this chart goes straight up. So in the 50s, it wasn't as much. 60s got a little bit more. 70s got a little bit more. And we are at an all-time high in recorded history for people's affinity for spicy food and beverages. And that's why you see, like, Popeyes has a ghost pepper chicken, and you see spicy stuff at Starbucks. And, you know, I guess people have just gotten bored with food over the years, and now we are demanding, as consumers, we are demanding spicy food and beverages.
Including spice in our tequila.
Including
tequila
yeah.
doesn't seem to be a drink typically that you would associate with spicy.
Well, you know, what's surprising is over the last 10 years or so, there's so many studies done about liquor and cocktails. Today, one in every 8 margaritas is made spicy, whether it's with a product like Ghost or they're muddling peppers or jalapenos in the cocktail. We are in the age of spicy cocktails. 1 out of 8 doesn't sound a lot, but when you think about it, you know, the margarita is the most popular cocktail in the world.
Is that right?
Not in the United States. The margarita is the most popular cocktail in the world. And when you think about that, 1 out of every 8 is being served spicy.
Damn.
Wow.
There's a lot of money in that business.
Who's collecting those statistics exactly? Is there a bureau?
There are different. There's different
margarita.
Like, no, there's the margarita company. There's different.
You're
collecting that.
I do a lot of research.
There's different consumer food and beverage companies that, you know, do those studies, and then organizations like mine can review those reports or pay them for yada yada yada. It's so boring. It's not even worth talking about.
So you were you were the guy. Remember that Fireball whiskey? That was that was a company that started out like you heard of it once, and then suddenly it was gradually it was everywhere.
Yeah,
and I read that you were the guy who was the person behind that. That you were the person who took this company, this Fireball whiskey, which was like made with cinnamon or something?
It's a cinnamon Canadian whiskey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Cinnamon flavored.
Cinnamon's a flavor in Canada. Canadian is a country you're talking about.
So this is true.
Canada is not a flavor now, is it?
No.
Okay.
It was a
cinnamon whiskey that's made in Canada.
Correct.
Now, is this a true story that you are the person who actually put this thing on the map?
Yeah. So let me clarify. Yes and no. I was the face of Fireball Whiskey. I was the national brand ambassador. I did all the social media. I was the guy who would bar hop around the country and plan events and talk to people and shake hands. There was a team. I was not a lone wolf. There were people who helped. There were social media people and sales people and very smart marketing people. But I am the one who is recognized. They called me the Fireball guy because I was the man on the street. I was the guy face-to-face with the consumers. But I have to give credit where it's due. There were other people involved with the company. But because I was the, quote-unquote, first national brand ambassador, my face is in the Bloomberg articles and the Forbes articles and the CNN stuff. So I have to give credit to everyone else who worked on that brand. But
You were the face.
I was the face.
That's
the
big.
Face of Fireball.
That's big.
Okay. That's awesome, man. I love that name.
Yeah. I was the face of Fireball.
Yeah.
That could be the name of your first book or record.
Yeah.
I'm stealing Fireball for a poetry guy. Book.
So then I guess something went wrong there because you left that and started this yourself. This is your own company.
Nothing went wrong. It just
Why didn't you stay there? Why didn't they cut you in? Are you a part owner of Fireball?
No. I was an employee.
Okay, but why didn't they take care of you if you did all that?
I made money. I made a salary. It was, you know, when you work for a company, they own the intellectual property and they pay you what they want to pay you, and it's all good. I mean, I'm an artist. I'm an idea man. I'm not a businessman or a salesman. So what happens is, you know, you build a consumer product, especially in liquor, and eventually liquor plateaus. Traditionally, most liquor products plateau, beer too. You get to a point where it's just maintenance. So a brand like Fireball or even Ghost, there are people who are involved in the building of the brand and the creative and the design and the brand ambassadors and blah, blah, blah. And you get to a point where you don't really need those people anymore. The sales start to plateau, and then you just need salespeople to maintain. It's not a bad thing. That's just how it works. So there's a time when people like me pass that baton, and it's like, good luck. Now all you have to do is sell this product. The brand is set in stone. See you later. You know, you don't really need a really creative person to rebrand.
Are you serious? I mean, look at all these continual campaigns they have for Budweiser. And,
sure.
And,
But they're always coming up with the whole new look. Isn't that sort of what you're good at?
Couldn't
you do that? Can you reinvent Budweiser constantly?
But you don't need to reinvent Budweiser every 6 months or every year. You can reinvent Budweiser every 20 years.
It seems
like
there's continually a new campaign.
Well, you're talking about ad campaigns, right?
And that's a different thing.
That's a different beast from brand design. I mean, we can really get into the nitty-gritty of this. But then there's a whole different crew of people who do ad campaigns versus me, which is brand voice and tone and that kind of thing.
So now into the
sort of
finer points.
Right. So I'm like foundation. I create the brand, and then I say, okay, ad team, come up with the call to action and the selling.
And how you promote that.
Yeah.
And cool. Did someone else come up with this, and you liked it and decided to turn it into something, or did you invent it?
So after Fireball, because my name was out there in Bloomberg, I had a lot of great articles written about my work with Fireball. I was very thankful and grateful for that. I got pitched all kinds of weird ideas. People would come to me with the weirdest liquor ideas because they wanted me to join their team, and they were like, "Oh, the Fireball guy can sell anything." And so, King Cake Vodka, which is a thing now.
Taka Vodka.
Yeah. Well, okay. So there was a guy who came up with the idea before, and then Taka basically said, "Well, we can make this for cheaper." So that's a different story altogether.
So they stole it off the King Cake Vodka guy.
Right. And the first guy came to me and asked me if I'd be interested in joining the company, and then weed flavored gin or like hemp flavored gin.
Get into it.
Hemp flavored gin.
Yeah.
Gin that tastes like pot.
Yeah. And
that's a good idea.
That's going to blow up, man. Go to Colorado.
Maybe years from now, but it's, you know. But anyway,
there's no actual weed in there.
Yeah.
You know what?
I
don't know. I
just
stopped listening.
Like,
I don't even remember. I don't even care. The thing that I told these people is like, I can really only work on brands that I would actually drink the product, right? And these crazy, wacky ideas were just too left field, and they were novelty. You know, they didn't have a lot of staying power. So this guy, Chris, my business partner, Chris Moran, lived in Boston, and he was working for a tequila bar. And what he realized is you had all these people who came to tequila bars but didn't order tequila. They were getting a vodka soda, right? And so what he realized and what we realized after kind of dipping our toe in this was everybody has a terrible tequila story from college or spring break.
Right. Uh-huh.
They had too much tequila, and now as an adult, they smell or taste tequila and they go, ugh. They get that nasty.
Yeah.
Or somebody says, hey, we're going to order Patron or Cuervo, and everybody groans. It's like, oh, I'll do it because it's your birthday, but I really don't want to. So he sat down, and Chris is the one who came up with the actual idea for the product, and he said, well, what if we can make a tequila for the non-tequila drinker, or tequila that both the non-tequila drinker and the tequila drinker can equally enjoy? Mm. So that's where the idea of the spice, and there's a little bit of sweetness in there too. You know, it's something that you can shoot, and it's something that you can put in a cocktail. You can make margaritas, Bloody Marias. You can take a lot of classic cocktails and make them spicy versions. You can take a Moscow Mule and make it a spicy Mexican Mule, and so on and so on. So we sat down and we said, you know, if we're going to do this, we want to make a damn good tequila, but we have to make something that's approachable for the everyman and not just this extremely expensive mezcal that's going to sit on the top shelf and four people are going to drink it.
Yeah.
So we wanted to make something that was approachable.
Yeah.
And from a marketing perspective, take a page out of Fireball's book, where not everybody loves whiskey, but everybody can drink Fireball. Mm. And not everybody loves tequila, but everybody can drink Ghost. It's much more palatable. Mm. But from a product standpoint, I can't really compare it to Fireball. Fireball sugar water. This is 100% Blanco agave tequila. You know, it doesn't get any more high quality than this. So
what a great pitch. I have to give you that.
Oh,
nice
thank
job.
You. I've done this 100. My entire day is just repeating this story.
That is amazing. And what are you thinking while you're saying that? You're looking at us and you...
Oh, I'm miles away.
Are you thinking about something else?
I'm on autopilot.
You're thinking about what's for dinner and what you're doing tonight?
Yeah, I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
It's pretty impressive, that pitch. I thought it was great.
Well, thank you.
I feel like
I have to say,
I'm going
to
go get a bottle. Even Julie's thinking about going back on
the wagon. I have to say that pitch to investors constantly, day in and day out. You know, investors, salespeople.
So you're looking for people to invest in this?
We're kind of past that point. We have a lot of investors. If anybody is listening and seriously wants to invest in a liquor company, yeah, absolutely, come my way. But the investor portion has been like the last 2 years of this business.
Well,
now we're actually in the market and selling, distributing. So,
cool.
Yeah, exciting times. We just 2 weeks ago, we were in on the front page of Bloomberg on their website, and then last week we were on CNN, and then last Friday we won Best Cocktail at the Top Taco, the first Taco Festival competition.
And
so we're kind of riding a wave right now.
How do you pull this sort of thing off? How do you do that? How do you get on Bloomberg and CNN? Is that you?
Yeah, I mean,
so
thankfully.
So you're the guy. So you can sell anything, probably.
That's
I would
what I'm
say,
told.
Judging by that.
That's what I'm, well, you know, I, being an actor, that helps a lot. Theater is selling.
One of the things you said as part of that pitch is, I'm not a salesman.
This is true.
Is that sort of the disarming
that's
disclaimer?
Yeah.
Look, I'm a hustler. It's a little bait and switch, you know?
So you are a great salesman.
I guess so.
Okay.
All right.
That's the key to the whole thing.
Fine.
Right.
You caught me.
But you do have to believe in the product. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
You have to believe in what you're saying, even if it is pretty fast talking.
Exactly.
In this case.
No, you're right. Yeah.
So who makes this 100% agave tequila?
So we make it at my business partner.
You have your own.
We own the
distillery.
So this is where it gets complicated, and it's important to be transparent in these things. My business partner and I, we own the recipe. The company owns the recipe, but we make it at a small family-owned distillery in Mexico.
Okay.
And from our perspective, you have these big liquor companies like Bacardi and Diageo and blah blah blah, and they can afford to own their distilleries. Somebody like us, it doesn't make sense to do that. It makes more sense for us to. A distillery is like a contractor. We go down there. We go down to Mexico, and we talk to five different, distilleries, and we pick the best one.
Everybody's doing this. This is how the Whole Foods have a Whole Foods brand.
Yeah, it's white labeling, right?
Yeah. So someone's making tequila that you really like.
Yes, exactly.
And you tell them to make it to your specifications.
We give them the recipe. Exactly. We oversee it.
Right.
We make sure it comes out to our.
That makes
perfect
sense.
Yeah.
How do you develop the recipe? How do you yourself distill in your room?
A lot of back and forth. So, basically, Chris had the idea.
Yeah.
But what happens is making one drink, taking all these ingredients and making one drink is so different than batching and making 3,000, gallons at a time. So what you have to do is you have to reverse engineer the formula, right? You have to figure out how to take it from one cocktail to. So what we did is we hired a consultant who knew his way around this, and we said, here's the recipe. Can you figure out the formula to get it to this level? And what's funny is the guy's actually an MIT chemist.
Yeah.
So he's approaching it not necessarily from an alcohol perspective. He's approaching it from a chemistry,
which is
actually better.
Yeah.
You know, you can go to a distillery, but the distillery is just going to make it to your specifications. So it's like, okay, MIT chemist, can you figure out the best way to formulate this? You take that formula to the distillery, and then you go back and forth. And it's like it's working with architects or working with carpenters or working with any kind of contractor. It's like, no, it's not right. Let's do it again. No, it's not. And then you look at it on a spectrum. It's too spicy. It's too sweet. And you just hone and hone and hone till you get to that sweet spot that everybody really likes. And it's
really
a long process.
That. Yeah.
It's fun.
You would love that you could do that, John.
You have to drink. You have to taste a lot of
tequila. But I guess the question that I have is how do you, so from the idea, I'm going to make a spicy tequila. How do you then develop a recipe? You know what I mean? Like, how do you get to?
Weren't you paying attention?
So
no. But
yeah,
like,
no. I get what you're saying. Yeah. So yeah. I mean, the short story is, I mean, so when Chris was working in this bar, you know, ghost peppers are very trendy right now.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, we're in the age of spicy food and beverage, and ghost peppers especially are being used in a lot of things. So his thought process was, okay, cool. So I want to make something that's palatable. What do people like right now? Part of it's like a flavor profile thing, but part of it's also business strategy. Like, we know spice is in right now. Mm. You know, we know tequila is making a comeback. We know people like a little bit of sweet in their drinks because it makes it more palatable. So his thought process was, well, on the Venn diagram, where do all these things line up?
Yeah.
And he's a mixologist, right?
Okay.
So I know the liquor business, but he knows the actual
liquor.
And so he's just a smart guy. And so the answer that I have for you is he's a smart dude, and he knew what he was doing.
Cool.
He put all these ingredients together. He basically made a cocktail.
Yeah.
And from that, he thought at first he was just going to sell this cocktail at this bar. And people liked it so much. People were coming in, and other bars were ripping it off in the area.
Nice.
And he said, okay, there's something more here.
Yeah.
So cool. I have to – he's
the
guy –
That's a good story right there, even if it's not true.
It is true.
We like to,
from a marketing perspective, we like to say Ghost was born in a bar, not a boardroom. Because a lot of these big liquor companies. Big liquor companies just brainstorm this stuff in a bar, like, ooh, we should make M&M flavored rum. And it's like, it's just executives sitting in a room not really understanding what people want to drink.
That is a good idea, though.
You know,
M&M flavored rum.
That sounds disgusting.
Doesn't it sound great?
That's the first thing that popped into my head.
What about for kids?
Yes.
That's a sort of a New Orleans drink
for
12 year olds.
Yeah, get them young.
It's like the Camel cigarettes.
As a liquor brand owner, I am legally not allowed to say that I'm okay with that because I will get in trouble
for that sort of thing. Okay, you didn't say it. I said it. Before we get out of here, John, tell us, where can we get the cassette?
Yes, yeah, so we are
crazy enough to buy a cassette.
Right. We are dropping a single this Friday, which is the snippet that you heard. It will be available on Spotify and iTunes and Amazon and all that good stuff.
Okay.
The name
of the band is Cardinal Sons.
Cardinal Sons, correct.
It's not the record that says Cardinal Sons make an EP.
No, this is a new one.
Which I thought was a great title for an EP.
Yeah, my little brother Dave's great idea.
But that was the old one. This is called what?
This is just a single.
Just a single called Magnolia.
So Magnolia is the name of the song. The other song is called Stuck in New Jack City, which is in reference to Jackson, where we're from.
Ah.
So both Mississippi.
And that's the B-side.
Technically Magnolia is the B-side, but we're releasing it first.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we have a video for Stuck in New Jack City that we're going to release.
Shit, do you have some sort of management or marketing advice? Because this is really complicated.
It's all me, man.
It's crazy.
I have a great recipe.
It doesn't matter. You need to get hooked up with Richard Pomez.
As much as I know about marketing tequila and liquor, the music industry scares me. I have friends who do marketing for that, and
it
sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah,
I bet it's the same technique you could apply to
it. Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
You could take the song.
I'm sure there's a lot in common, but...
Yeah. I mean, basically what you need to know is that 17-year-old girls control the industry.
Yeah.
So if you can make something that 17-year-old girls can like and pay for $100 festival tickets for, then you got it.
25-year-old girls control the liquor industry.
Yeah. So. Yeah, there you go.
What happened to those 8 years in the middle? Is that the poetry industry?
Yeah, maybe so.
Definitely.
You know, there is actually a literary magazine called Mackinac Review that for its featured poets, they come up with cocktails to drink while you read the poems, and they have a playlist on Spotify to go with
I think we're just, this is gold here.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
So the three of you could get together.
Yeah.
Well, what about it? We got to get out of here now, but you guys could stay here and come up with it. I bet you Richard could figure this out.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So we come up with a poetry book that comes with a cocktail list and a playlist.
And a playlist.
Yeah. I like this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. That's cool.
Genius.
I'm down.
Yeah. Well, why don't we? We already have the poetry book. It's just out.
We've got all three.
What
We're
is your book called again? It's Paper Bullets.
The latest one, Paper Bullets.
And what a great title, by the way.
I like it. Yeah.
Paper Bullets. And then you could market
like
that with the cocktail.
That's
like
a band,
band name,
totally.
Yeah.
Right there.
An indie band.
Okay. What a great way to end the show. I think we've really got something. If this all works out, Happy Hour gets 10%, okay?
All
cool.
Right.
Excellent.
All right. You got that, Asher? Right.
Yeah.
We've got
that
on tape.
Can I make two quick plugs?
Yes.
Do you mind? The NOLA Project, my theater company, is doing a family-friendly kid show in May at NOMA in the Sculpture Garden at the New Orleans Museum of Art. It's going to be great. Bring the kids, bring the little ones. You can get tickets at NOLAproject.com. And then can I tell people where they can find Ghost?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes. Totally. Right. Anything's okay.
Okay, excellent. So we're in about close to 100 bars in the greater New Orleans area. And retail, you can pick it up at Bromart, Dornax, Rouse's, Ilio's on Claiborne. So,
How much are we paying for a bottle of Ghost?
Bottle here in New Orleans, it varies city to city. Bottle here in New Orleans is going to be somewhere around $24.99. So it's in terms of tequila, we're a really good price point. We're going to come in a lot cheaper than the big guys.
Okay.
So,
okay. And cool. It's good.
Thank you.
It is good.
Did you like it, John?
Yeah, speaking of which.
What about an endorsement?
Like
here's to it, ladies and gentlemen.
We're going to do another
shot. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
That's it.
I'll get another one for you guys if you want it.
Yeah. Okay. That's half Cheers. Hour for another Cheers. Day. That was Richard Pomez, who's the...
Pomez.
Very
good.
Who
you're,
is the...
You're much closer than most people are.
Really? Perfect. Well, that's great. And I've only had two shots of it.
Excellent.
Richard Pomez is the man behind Ghost Tequila. Julie Kane is the poet behind the book called Paper Bullets. And
John Shirley
is the guy behind the song called Magnolia or New Jack City. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Stuck in New Jack City.
Stuck in New Jack City from the band The Cardinal Sons, which is S-O-N-S, which, of course, is a literary reference because they're all sons
right.
of the same parents. And
that's
they're
correct.
All brothers. And say hi to your oldest brother for us,
I will.
Too.
Yeah, for
and,
sure.
And thanks to the Basic Swim and Gym, who made the show possible. If you'd like to get yourself a bikini or a cover-up or a one-piece, go down to Basic Swim and Gym at Sector Basics Lingerie on Magazine Street. And more importantly, for this show, thanks to Hangover Destroyer, the only all-natural product medically proven to prevent a hangover. If you go to their website, hangoverdestroyer.com.
Perfect.
Oh, no, it's not. It's called hdestroyer.com.
Oh, okay.
That's what happens after you have a few of these. Yeah. When you write happy hour on the coupon code, you can get 30% off of your order of Hangover Destroyer.
Damn.
And you too can seize the dawn. Thank you so much for joining us. That's been happy hour for another week. The producer of our show is Graham DePonte. Christian Unruh is our music director, and Jean Valois is our music producer. Our technical director is Thomas Walsh, and our live feed director, who made it possible for you to watch half of the show today on Facebook Live, is Asher Griffith. Our theme music was written by and is currently being played by Mitch Foreman. If you'd like to be on our show and you can stay upright for about an hour while you sit around and drink free drinks, drop us a line. Our address is on our website. It's neworleans.com. We can also find many other hours of happy hour to listen to, as well as some other shows we make here, including Out to Lunch with Peter Ricciuti, live from Commander's Palace, True to the Game with Chris True, Midnight Menu with Margot Moss, the man who ate New Orleans, Ray Canada, Louisiana Eats with Poppy Tucker, and so much more, including the incredible Psych Ward with Dr. Ross Shields. You can find other great Louisiana podcasts as well at itsacadiana.com and itsbatonrouge.la. You can keep up with us on Facebook and on Twitter and a bunch of other times sucky social media as well. And all of it we call It's New Orleans. You can find photos from this show on itsneworleans.com and on our Facebook page. These photos are taken by the fabulous Allison Moon. If you're listening to this on your favorite podcast app, thank you for subscribing to us. Take a moment, if you can, to stop everything and rate and review us. That helps other people find us. Our show is recorded live today at Wayfair on Ferret Street in Uptown New Orleans, where they have a fantastic happy hour here for 3 hours every single day. And brunch on the weekends, happy hour is a production of INO Broadcasting for itsneworleans.com. Andrew Duhon is making an album in Nashville, I believe. So look out for that. It's called Welcome to My World, or possibly It's Okay, Johnette, Just Stay Where You Are, or something like that. So thank you, for on behalf of Andrew, who can't be here, and everyone else around the table at Wayfair here and back at our office at INO Broadcasting. Thanks for joining us. I'm Grant Morris. I'll see you back here next week at Wayfair for more Happy Hour.